Hello, and welcome to an extra special edition of Upside Down Shark Radio. I am your hostest with the mostest, Flavor Country Incarcerated? Flavor Country Incarnate, Tom Baker. Joining me tonight is Mr. 110% attendance, Mr. Allgood, the Paul Wood.
How's it going, guys?
And today, bear in mind that Craig, non-wrestling born, isn't here today. Let's talk some wrestling. Specifically, our top wrestlers of 2017. Now, rather than running down in our normal listicle style, I thought, why not just find out our favourite wrestlers in different categories? Who's won the awards?
Yeah, what we'll do is we'll give you a category. We'll have a talk about a few wrestlers that could possibly go into that category, and then tell you who we think should take that title.
Yeah. I mean, this is the end of the year. It's a time where we look at who really has shone in 2017. We need our own award name, really, wouldn't you say? Like, there's the Oscars for films, there's the Grammys for music. So what would really fit in with Upside Down Shark? What do you think our award should be, Paul?
I've got visions of a gold trident with a shark on it.
I mean, that would be pretty sick. That would be pretty sick indeed.
But what would we call it?
I think the Sharkies. You have the Oscars, you have the Grammys, you have the Golden Globes sometimes. The Sharkies. I think it's got a nice ring to it.
And it'll be worth more than a slammy.
Oh, God. And without further ado, and on that note, let's dive in with our most improved wrestler of 2017. Who would you say is the most improved wrestler of 2017, Paul?
Well, you got to think people that have been established previously that have come onto the scene, like have greatly improved on their where they were already. And to be honest, there hasn't been a great deal of them. Most of the people that you see, especially within the WWE, come from, say, NXT onto the main roster, and if anything, to their detriment. Like, you think Jason Jordan.
Bobby Roode.
Yeah, Jason Jordan, part of American Alpha. Fantastic tag team.
Jason Jordan, Kurt Angle's son?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, talk about an old 90s gimmick coming to life.
Yeah, like in American Alpha, like they were a genuinely phenomenal tag team.
And they had comedy chops as well.
Yeah, they separated them, and Jason Jordan's just left hanging in the wind.
Yeah. Like a Kleenex in the wind.
Yeah, obviously you say Bobby Roode, he's been established for quite a while now.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, again, came up...
Inexplicably turned him face.
Yeah.
For no reason, even though he was one of the best heels...
Always has been.
...in WWE.
It was in TNA.
Yeah. So what you're saying is that, if anything, this year has been the year that everyone's decreased in value and quality rather than improving.
Yeah, but as far as I can tell, one sole exception...
And who would that be?
It would have to be Braun Strowman. He's...
I've been really, really waiting to do that for a long time.
You can tell. You needed to release that, didn't you?
Oh, I did. He's great. He is fantastic.
Yeah, no, he's really come into his own. Like, you think his debut with the Wyatt family was... What?
About 2 years ago now?
Yeah, and he has come a long way.
He was hot garbage when he came out. Like, he couldn't wrestle. He couldn't... Well, they didn't even bother to give him a promo.
Yeah.
You thought he'd be, like, the next Eric Rowan. And, God, look at him now. Bludgeon Brothers.
Yeah, no, it's... Yeah, Braun Strowman's definitely, in my eyes, the most improved.
I mean,
at least in the WWE.
For a big guy, he's so athletic. He's come on so far in his technical ability. His character work is second to none, I'd say. Just the one-liners and the quips that he comes out with. It's one of those situations where, by letter of the law, he's a heel, but he gets so many pops that he's essentially a face now. Like, yeah. He's that kind of tweener zone. Yeah. I haven't seen a bad match with him in a very, very long time. He can go with small guys, he can go with big guys, hey. And, oh dear. Yeah, I would genuinely say if the plan is for Brock Roman to headline Mania next year.
Broman.
Why not stick Braun in that? Make it a triple threat. It'd make it a hell of a lot more interesting.
Yeah,
I think he's destined for a run with a strap at some point in the next 12 months as well.
Easily.
And he would be a real legit champ as well. I think it's to the point now where he's kind of jumped over the IC and the US, the US championship, and we'll be going for the main gold, because they're kind of below him now.
Yeah, he's been in main events like for the last, what, 3-4 pay-per-views?
Pretty much, yeah. I think he's had more wins over Roman than Roman's had over him, which is better than beating the Undertaker at the moment.
Yeah, he's solidly main eventing, and he's taking the show. You look at the Shield featuring Kurt Angle match that they had, where him and Kane just ended up going at each other.
Yeah,
and yeah, those two stole it.
They certainly did. I'm really, really looking forward to, if the plan is for him to have a feud with Triple H coming up for Mania, that'd be really good. Please, please don't bury him, Trips. Please, please. God, that would be the worst. That would be the absolute worst. But that'd be really good, I think, if they can do it well. I think that'd be a really, really good feud.
Triple H's proven time and time again. He's tried and tested.
And he's a match with him is almost above belt and above brand now. He is something for the younger guys to aspire to, is just a match with Triple H. I mean, look in the past, like Seth Rollins, this Mania was probably above belt. The year before, Sting, above belt.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan, the year before that, ended up winning the belt. So yeah, it sort of goes to show.
The 2-year consecutive run of him against The Undertaker.
I mean, he is pretty much the manifestation of the brass ring that Vince goes on about now. Just got to grab Triple H's tight booty and you've made it.
Yeah, Triple H is the generic action figure that Vince loves.
Triple H.
And Braun Strowman is the upgrade to that.
Yeah, he is the Big Show 25 years ago now.
He's in a way better shape than Big Show ever has been, I think.
That is true. But he's as athletic as the Big Show was back in his prime.
Yes.
So there we go. Best wrestler of the year. Well, most improved wrestler of the year. My apologies. The shark he goes to, a Braun Strowman. Well done, Braun. Adam. So, moving on swiftly. Kayfabe Wrestler of the Year. Now, this is almost a joke category, because we're not basing this on whether we like the guy or girl, or if they're a particularly good wrestler. It's purely on how they've performed in kayfabe. So, the amount of titles won, the amount of main events they've had, and just the impact in the wrestling landscape that they've had. I mean, I think we're going to stick this one to WWE, because they're the ones that cling on to kayfabe more than most.
Yeah, they don't like breaking kayfabe too often.
Well, not unless it serves a New Day angle or something like that, which I'm fine with. But I think there's only one real clear winner of this Sharky.
Well, yeah, and any other year, it would probably have been John Cena. This category for the last 10 years would have been the John Cena. We probably might even call it the John Cena Award.
Yeah. Yeah, we might call that the Sharky John Cena Award for Kayfabe Wrestler of the Year. I think there's only one, and it's double R, Roman Reigns.
As much as I hate to say it.
I know. He's just not got any better, has he? Like, achievements aside, like, he is... They've tried to put him back with a Shield. He still gets booed. They tried to do everything with him to get him over, and it's just not working. Just not at all.
No, it's not even... It's not even the character of Roman Reigns. I think we may have previously discussed this. Like the character of Roman Reigns over the last couple of months has been played by various people where he's been out injured.
Kurt Angle,
Triple H have stepped into the role, done, for all intents and purposes, the exact same thing. They've been cosplaying as Roman Reigns, and they have been so over.
Yeah. Yeah, you are right.
The Roman Reigns character. It's Roman Reigns himself.
But in kayfabe, I believe, has he held the main strap this year? I don't think he's held the Universal title, but he's held the IC title. I'm pretty sure in calendar year 2017 he's held the US Championship. But most importantly, he's retired, in theory, The Undertaker, which is a monumental thing. Like, he's the biggest, most iconic wrestler of the modern era, of the past quarter of a century. And to the person that's getting the rub from his retirement is Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
It's just, it boggles the mind. Like, when you see the crowd reaction against what the insiders seemingly think of him, it's just so contradictory. But you can't deny that he has had probably the most successful year. I think the only other person that comes close in terms of kayfabe has been Brock, because he's held the strap since Mania.
Yeah, but he's had, what, two matches?
Exactly. So he's kind of a bit redundant. And Goldberg, but again, even less matches. And so for, like, a full-time main eventer, there's been no one bigger than Roman Reigns, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, this just a couple of weeks back, he took the Grand Slam.
Mm-hmm.
He won the last belt required to make him a WWE Grand Slam champion.
Yeah,
and there was like a big thing about it, like him taking the Grand Slam. Like, bearing in mind, about 6 months ago, Dean Ambrose did the same thing.
Yeah,
and nobody even realized.
Yeah, until you mentioned it earlier before broadcast, I had absolutely no idea.
Yeah, like, I don't know why, because Dean Ambrose, by all means, is infinitely better.
Yep. I mean, I would still say he's not the best member of the Shield. I still think Seth is by far and away my favourite,
yeah,
personally.
Seth, the CrossFit Jesus, is...
Yep, God bless him.
Even in the face of adversity, he had the tour ACL, MCL injury,
mm-hmm,
that he came back, then re-tour, like... He was out for so long, came back in straight into the main event, straight into the titles again.
Yeah.
Like, you got to be strong to do that.
Yeah.
And he was, is.
Yeah, he's. I mean, it's no denial, and I hardly think there's any debate that Roman Reigns is the weakest member of the Shield.
Yeah.
By
just,
a long, long way.
It just boggles the mind how he's been chosen as the number one of those three.
Yep. Even when he wasn't meant to be the original third member, it was always meant to be Chris Hero, Cassius Ohno. But
yeah.
The powers to be said...
Triple H let him go because he was too fat.
Dearie me. But there we go.
And then they hired Kevin Steen.
And then put the Universal title on him.
And then brought Cassius Ohno back.
There you go. But there we are. I mean, there's not much more to say. Roman Reigns is the kayfabe wrestler of the year. I mean, if this was the Slammies of Upside Down Shock Radio, he'd probably clear the board, because they're just a kayfabe award as well. But yeah, the Upside Down Shock John Cena Award for Kayfabe Wrestler of the Year is Roman Reigns. Oh dear.
It feels dirty.
And we need a bit of eye bleach to wash out all the horrible images of Joe Liaki, or Anoa'i, whatever they call him now, winning all of the things. Let's go with something away from the world wrestling entertainment world. And look at Indie Wrestler of the Year, away from the glitz and the glamour, the more real wrestling side of things.
I do like my indie wrestling.
You do? I do as well. I'm a big fan of the older, smaller promotions, PWG, even CZW, but Ring of Honor.
IPW UK.
IPW, well, it's Defiant Wrestling now, but what was WCPW?
Yeah, Progress.
Progress, definitely Progress. Shout out to Progress. Who would you say your indie wrestler of 2017 was?
See, that's a tough one, because there have been some really good, even individual matches.
Yeah.
You think that obviously Joey Ryan's still kicking about,
mm-hmm,
in America, like flipping people with his penis.
With his penis.
And it never gets old, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's always fun. He is ultimately what most wrestling is missing.
Yeah.
Is the aspect of fun, the show.
And it really annoys Jim Cornette, which I enjoy, because he's a miserable man.
That's always a good day.
But yeah, there is a lot of stiff competition. I think you can't look much further than Omega and Okada for just the quality of matches. I mean, this has been the year that Meltzer has given the first 6-star rating, and even higher on certain matches, and it's always been between those two. So they must be doing something right. But I think that there are a few other people on the other side of the pond that have done really well. One we've mentioned previously is Jimmy Havoc.
Yeah, Jimmy Havoc's done really, really well this year. Took home the Tournament Death Trophy.
Yep.
Bled for it.
Oh, yeah.
if you haven't seen that match, I highly recommend checking it out. It is a masterclass in brutality.
Yeah, I mean, good choice of wearing the white shirt and trousers as well, just to accentuate the blood loss.
I believe Triple H was there.
Oh, really? Yeah. I didn't hear about
yeah.
that.
There was either a tweet or an Instagram post went out from Jimmy himself about people wondering if Triple H saw his performance. And it was literally just a picture of Jimmy wearing a crimson mask. Just like, if he didn't see this, then he's not going to have seen anything.
Blimey. Wow.
But yeah, no.
I'm surprised that Triple H would go to CCW. I suppose they have hired some good talent from there. Rich Swann from 205 Live.
Yeah.
Was I think he was champ over there. Drew Gulak as well.
Yeah. All of the people that should be doing way better than they are in the WWE.
Yeah, because I mean CCW gets a bad rap for his hardcore matches, but it's not all hardcore. It has a lot of the traditional stuff. It's just the Tournament of Death, which grabs all the headlines.
Yeah, it's no different from say for example IPW.
Yeah.
Having they have quite a few hardcore matches. I've been to a few. In fact, I think I went to one earlier this year, again, Jimmy Havoc, again, Sammy Smooth.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, Jimmy versus Sammy Smooth. I watched him manually push thumbtacks into Sammy's face.
That sounds disgusting.
He filled Sammy's mouth with thumbtacks and kicked him in the head.
Oh, no, that's bad times.
Yeah, it's
ugh.
Genuinely phenomenal. To watch, and in the heeliest move I've ever seen anyone do, Jimmy on his way out pulled the seat out from under a child.
What?
On his way out, he grabbed a child's seat and yanked it out so he could take the chair to protect himself. The kid had no idea.
That is full heel.
Like proper heel.
That's like could get sued heel, which is the best kind of heel.
Yeah, I mean, if you're in like one of the front two rows of a wrestling show, you kind of know.
Yeah, it's almost like you're signing a unwritten waiver that that sort of stuff can happen.
Yeah, but yeah, no, that was magnificent. So yeah, my put forward to this would probably be Jimmy Havoc.
I think you're right with that. I think just for the fact that he is the first British wrestler to win the Tournament of Death, and he's not. It's not a spring chicken. He's been around the block, and I think this has probably been the best year of his career so far.
Yeah, I mean, he came back from injury as well.
Yeah,
like, last year he had a terrible year. Like he had to, I believe Joseph Connors had to defend his Jimmy's title for him.
Oh wow!
On multiple occasions because Jimmy couldn't compete. He wasn't medically cleared. Wasn't allowed to wrestle, and he's come back this year stronger than ever.
That's dedication, and he's got arguably. Not the biggest match of the year, but a stellar highlight coming up with his match against Abyss, TNA's Abyss.
He has.
At the IPW Super Show.
I will be in the front row for that.
I'm sure you will, and I can't wait to hear all about it. So I think we're in agreement. Indie Wrestler of the Year goes to Jimmy Havoc.
Definitely.
Cool. Moving swiftly on again. Women's Wrestler of the Year. Now, in the past couple of years, we've seen the Women's Revolution sweep the WWE with some... Fantastic quality matches with some stellar talent. We've seen the first pay-per-view to be headlined by women wrestlers.
Yep.
We've seen the first Money in the Bank. We won't talk about the end, but the match itself was good.
Yep.
We have seen the first women's Hell in a Cell match in the past few years. So this is a really stacked category, really. We're going to keep this predominantly WWE because I don't know about you, but that is where I consume most of my wrestling content.
I will during this throw out some of the indie women that are doing phenomenally.
Of course, they've also had a spotlight with the Mae Young Classic. There's been a lot of indie stars had a chance to shine there. A lot of them have got WWE contracts.
I was actually going to bring up Toni Storm. Toni Storm has, outside of the WWE, probably been the strongest women's wrestler this year.
Yeah.
Like, she's had a phenomenal year. She's taken home so many titles, so many straps. Like, I've had the opportunity of seeing her firsthand, and she is magnificent in the ring.
Yeah, and there's also Nixon Newell, Bea Priestley.
Yep, absolutely.
On this side of the Atlantic. The less said about Sexy Star, the better.
You go against Sexy Star.
Oh, did you not hear about what happened with her and... who's the TNA wrestler. Where's the face paint? Rosemary. They were in a AAA match in Mexico, and Sexy Star put on an armbar and basically went into business for herself. Rosemary tapped, and she kept it in and legitimately damaged her arm, and she got so much heat backstage, she got fired, got stripped from her title, and yeah, she's basically been blacklisted for being an unsafe worker.
I hadn't even heard that.
Yeah, it was a lot of controversy. It was about sort of 3 or 4 months ago now, it's a little while ago, but yeah, she's bad news. She's bad news, so I will not be putting her forward. But one person who definitely cannot be overlooked is a record breaker in Asuka, in NXT. The longest title run of the modern era, eclipsing Goldberg's reign in WCW. Still undefeated on either the main roster or NXT. And seems to be legitimately one of the nicest people in wrestling as well.
Yeah, I mean, on the when she was over in Japan, she was highly acclaimed.
Kano, I think it was her name back then, wasn't it?
Sorry?
Was it Kano what she went by before Asuka?
I believe so. It's been a while now.
Yeah. She's Asuka.
She was down in NXT for... She held the strap for so long.
Yeah. I mean, she debuted in 2015 and she's still undefeated. That just doesn't happen in modern day WWE.
No, it really
just doesn't happen. It'll be interesting to see how she's treated now that she's a full member on the main roster. I really hope that they give her the dominant run that she had in NXT. What I would like to see is that now she's on Raw, go straight for the Raw Women's title.
Yeah.
Beat up everyone, clear house. Go over to SmackDown, win the women's title there as well, hold both straps. Maybe, whether or not WWE would clear it, maybe challenge for a men's title as well.
Yeah, no, I would be like, a lot of the indie places do intergender matches. Like, a lot of them.
Mm.
Like, Lucha Underground, for example.
Yeah.
As both popular and unpopular as they are, they feature it quite regularly. Is a male versus female match, and quite often the female comes out on top because they're faster.
Yeah,
they're fast. They're more technical. Like, you get these big guys that can manhandle them, but when they're coming off a top rope and kicking you in the face,
yeah, not much you can do with that.
Yeah, I would genuinely love to see intergender matches in the WWE.
Well, hopefully we may see something like that with Asuka in 2018. From all reports, it looks like that there's going to be the first Women's Royal Rumble in next January as well. I really hope she wins it. What I would like to see in an ideal world is, now that Paige has returned, she beats Alexa Bliss for the Raw Women's title, holds that till Mania, and then Asuka wins it at Mania after becoming number one contender, winning the Royal Rumble. Yeah, I think that would be top booking. So if you're WWE officials, if you're listening, take that advice.
Yep.
You can have that one for free.
Yeah, no, I fully commend Asuka on everything she's done this year.
Yeah.
Well, not even just this year, over the last few years in the WWE, previous career in Japan. Like, she's been on top of the game for a while, and deservedly.
I mean, there's been so many Japanese wrestlers that have come over to the WWE and for whatever reason haven't resonated quite as well. Hideo Itami.
That's a crying shame.
It's a crying shame. Even Shinsuke, compared to what he was like in New Japan.
In NXT, he was so over.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
And he's just been wasted since he's been on the main roster.
It's getting to the point where coming up to the main roster, if anything, is a bad career decision.
Well, except for financially, from all accounts. Apparently, it's a good payday coming up from NXT. But yeah, except for Joe, it's not been that many that have done... Alexa Bliss is the obvious omission.
Yeah, WWE tend to bury talent. Like Apollo Crews.
Yeah.
By all means, should be the first black champion.
You know, it's strange. It's the talent that never really got much of a push in NXT that seems to have done or overperformed on the main roster. Because you've got Alexa Bliss, never held the women's title in NXT.
Yeah.
It's the first person to hold both women's titles on the main roster. You've got Alia.
She did have a good run with Blake and Murphy. That was a fantastic...
And look what happened with them.
Yeah. But she was phenomenal.
Yeah. And That actually leads on quite well to our next category. So we'll say Asuka, for sure, Women's Wrestler of the Year. Upside Down Sharks, Women's Wrestler of the Year.
Absolutely.
Okay. Cool. That leads us on to our next category, who I have included purely on the basis of the wrestler who I wanted to win it. So, you know, come at me. Surprise Package of the Year. Now, we were talking about wrestlers who haven't had quite the rub in NXT coming up and overperforming or outperforming their expectations. Surprise Package of the Year for me has got to be Elias Samson. And I'll tell you why, Paul, before you interject, because I know you will.
I will.
Elias Samson in NXT was absolutely eviscerated by Corey Graves on a weekly basis. Even though Corey Graves was a heel commentator and Elias Samson was a heel, Corey Graves still couldn't help himself but rip into that guy. The Drifter gimmick is ridiculous. I'm sorry, it's so ridiculous. But of going from being most likely to get released from NXT, he has now got a firm mid-card position in the WWE roster. Not only that, but this week, just gone from when we're recording this, he had an IC title match against Roman Reigns. He has made an absolute name for himself.
I bet it was difficult to tell who was who in that match.
I tell you, it really was. I mean, talk about the WWE having a type. It is big man with sweaty black hair.
Yeah. Like, bearing in mind, they could still have Damian Sandow. I've said this week in, week out.
Yeah. I mean, I won't dispute
Why
that.
Why has Elias Samson got a job and not Damian Sandow?
Because he's big and he's got sweaty black hair.
So did Damian Sandow.
Well, yeah,
true. I mean, he was magnificent.
He was magnificent. And if there was a category for most missed wrestler of the year...
Definitely.
I would definitely put him above, even Taker.
Actually, no, Edge. I still miss Edge. Mm-hmm. Still too soon.
I think the wounds have healed on him.
No.
I mean, his neck hasn't, but the wounds have. The emotional wounds have.
No, it's still raw.
At least we've got the podcast. Aaron Stevens, Damian Sandow, whatever title he's going by now, he's gone. He's not even wrestling on the indies as far as I'm aware anymore. No, he's just faded into obscurity. And it's the crying shame.
He was amazing.
He really was. But when I say surprise package of the year, it doesn't have to be a positive thing. So I like Elias. I'm going to put it out there. I think he's entertaining. Even though he can't play the guitar, I think that's somewhat endearing. That he's managed to make a career out of being a mediocre wrestler and a subpar guitarist. Like, it gives hope for the common man. If we were talking about this like 3 months ago, you'd have to throw in James Ellsworth as well. Because
no.
Yeah.
No.
What happened with him was surprising. You can't deny that.
That it was.
First women's Money in the Bank winner.
No, we don't talk about that. My biggest surprise of the year, to be honest, was seeing for the first time one of the independent wrestlers, Matt Riddle.
Yes.
Used to be in the UFC. I can't say I'd ever really, to be honest, at that point, I hadn't really heard of him. He was just making his sort of break into the independent wrestling circuit. And he was unbelievably good for somebody that I'd never really heard of.
Yeah.
I'd heard the name, but I couldn't have put a face to it. I hadn't seen any of his matches previously.
Yeah.
Obviously I knew from chatter that he'd been like in the UFC and an actual fighter, but in the ring he's extraordinary. It was in a match against Zack Sabre Jr.
Ooh, tasty.
Yeah, and he matched Zack Sabre.
That's no mean feat.
Like on the mat, like on all fours, technical ability, he matched Zack Sabre, and then overpowered him.
But he's got that.
And took the match. Like, he's technical. He's just ability is amazing.
And he oozes charisma as well.
He really, really does.
Like, he is what I would be if I was a wrestler, in my mind.
Yeah, he's also a solid bloke.
Yeah.
I met him.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, during that same event. And, like, he's like a solid, solid bloke. Like, yeah. He's a really nice guy.
I wouldn't be surprised if he got snapped up by NXT next year as well.
To be honest, I'm surprised he hasn't already.
Like, he's got the physique, he's got the look that Vince and co. Crave.
He's got the thickest Californian accent.
Yeah. He's got that marketability that I think he'd do well. He'd do well in the WWE. I can't actually argue with that. I was going to defend Elias Sampson to the death, but you know what? You've convinced me live on air, so well done. I think the Upside Down Shark surprise package of the year in wrestling has got to be Mr. Matt Riddle. So well done, bro.
Nice.
I know. So now that we've been rambling on for the better part of half an hour, I think it's time to wrap this all up with the coveted Sharky Award for Best Wrestler of the Year. Now, there have been some absolutely phenomenal wrestlers, hint, hint, this year. There have been arguably some of the best matches of all time. I think the quality of wrestling in 2017 is better than any year we've had before. I think
it has been. There have been instances where it has been way worse.
Of course. There's always ebbs and flows, highs and lows. But overall, I think pound for pound, the quality of wrestling in ring has been phenomenal. Absolutely amazing. Both indie UK, WWE, even Impact, I would say, has been top notch. So this is a really, really stacked category. There is a lot of people that could win this. Some obvious names that spring to mind. It's got to be Kenny Omega and AJ Styles. I mean, they have been for years 1A and 1B in terms of best wrestler of the year, in terms of ability, charisma, mic work. I don't think you can get better than those two.
No, I'd probably agree at this exact moment in time. They are probably two of the best. Like, AJ Styles single-handedly saved a pay-per-view.
Which pay-per-view was that?
It wasn't the Brock Lesnar. It was the one previous to that.
The one where...
Where he was on loan.
Yeah, Bray Wyatt had the mumps, and so he had to fill in for against Pumpkin Balor.
Oh, yeah, it was Finn Balor.
Yeah, against Finn Balor. That was TLC. Yeah. I think it was TLC. We're going to say that was TLC.
TLC was such a poor pay-per-view that it needed AJ Styles to come cross-brand to save it.
I mean, were you, as a free, well, not free agent, but as someone to call on to fill that utility man role, who else could you ask for?
Yeah, and that match against Finn was unbelievable.
Well, you knew it was going to be good because, like, even the history behind them would mean that it would be an amazing match because they're both former leaders of Bullet Club.
Yeah, the entire match was almost too sweet.
Nice. Yeah, I think he has been by far and away the best thing in WWE this year. Every feud he's been part of has been fantastic. Even matches like the ones with Kevin Owens, which haven't quite been up to the standards you might hoped, have still eclipsed everything else on the card.
In all honesty, AJ Styles, I don't think has ever had a bad match.
Well, yeah,
except that one instance.
Which one was that?
Where he may or may not have broken some guy's neck.
Well, if they can't...
He's fine now. He's in NXT.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to tuck your chin while you're doing a Styles clash, then, you know, that's not his fault. Yeah, and then elsewhere in the world, Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks as the elite package.
Yep.
I think you can't really get better than them. Meltzer has given Omega Okada 6 stars on 3 occasions. Never been done before. So that just goes to show... I know he's just one man's opinion, but a very, very educated man in the world of wrestling. Shows you the quality that they're outputting over there. Young Bucks, not only have they performed outstandingly in the ring yet again this year, but just the way they've built their brand as well has been absolutely unparalleled. They now have the highest selling t-shirts in Hot Topic.
Superkick Party.
Yeah, bigger than any band, better than Rick and Morty, Invader Zim, all the emo trash. they outsell them all. And they've had a couple of tryout matches with WWE, but they've never been signed full-time.
Yeah, no.
They've built a brand purely on basis of their own hard work, their own YouTube channel, and it's a good testament that you don't need to go to the WWE to make it anymore.
No, not at all. Proof of the fact is Chris Jericho leaving the WWE to fight Kenny Omega.
Yeah, that is a bucket list match for Chris Jericho, and it's a dream match for all of us. Because
that is Alpha versus Omega. That is the best in the world.
He needs a better nickname.
He really does.
I mean, the cleaner has...
Unless at Tokyo Dome, he's going to take best in the world. Because if Kenny beats him, that makes Kenny the best in the world.
It'd be interesting to see whether or not...
And then he's got to fight CM Punk.
Can you imagine? Speaking of which, actually, have you heard this Bullet Club pay-per-view that they're planning for 2018?
No.
The Young Bucks and Cody Rhodes, who, again, could even be voted Indie Wrestler of the Year. There's so many choices.
Not allowed to call him Cody Rhodes.
They won't know. Hashtag cease and desist. Blech. It's getting late. The Bullet Club are funding a 10,000-seater pay-per-view event purely booked by them. So no external company is going to fund or finance this. This will be all off their own backs.
Nice.
They're going to book the venue themselves. They're going to book the card themselves. So it will be a Bullet Club pay-per-view. And one of the suggested locations, because nothing's been officially set in stone yet, has been Chicago. Now, who would you book to sell out a 10,000-seater stadium in Chicago, would you say?
That's a tough one. Colt Cabana.
Well, that's the right answer. Of course we're talking about the best in the world, CM Punk. Now, he's said that he would never return to the WWE, but he may return to wrestling. I can't see him returning for anything short of a Bullet Club pay-per-view. I think that would be the perfect thing for him to return to.
CM Punk in the Bullet Club.
CM Punk in the Bullet Club versus Kenny Omega. What more could you say?
Yeah. Well, Kenny's got to beat Chris first.
Can you imagine Kenny Omega and versus Chris Jericho and Kenny Omega versus CM Punk in a calendar year? I wouldn't be able to handle it.
Like, there would be no more wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't need to see any more wrestling.
I would rather unsub to the WWE Network at that point, because like everything else will pale in comparison.
Yeah, why even carry on watching wrestling after that point?
Yeah, it'll be it. So with that being said, I think I would veer more towards the Elite as a whole being the wrestling package wrestlers of the year as a collective. I think if you were going to pick a standout member, it'd be Kenny Omega, just because he has had the best matches of the year. But honourable mention to the Young Bucks, Marty Scurll, and Cody Rhodes in all of that as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say just pipping it at the post, Kenny Omega, I would say, is my wrestler of the year.
Yeah, probably. There's a couple of honourable mentions I need to at least acknowledge.
Please do.
Kane, Glenn Jacobs.
Okay.
As of recording, I believe his next match on Raw will be his 1,000th televised match.
God damn. 1,000?
1,000 televised matches. That doesn't include dark matches.
Whew.
That's a good lord of matches.
He has served his time and then some.
Yeah, he's like behind the scenes, he's one of the most respected guys in the WWE. Like people from all tiers come to him with, like, if any of the wrestlers have any problems, they go to him to try and get something sorted out or for advice. If any of the upper brass have any issues, then they generally go to him to try and sort it out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's the go-to guy in the WWE at the moment. I've read somewhere, apologies, I can't remember where, in his illustrious career, he has never injured anyone.
Good lord.
He is officially the safest wrestler of all time.
But what about the time he tased Shane McMahon's testicles? That's going to hurt.
Yeah, but Shane O'Mac gets up.
Yeah, that's valid. He is the most powerful wrestler in 2017. He could have been our kayfabe wrestler of 2017, to be honest.
But yeah, no, I thought at least Kane deserved an honourable mention for not only being the safest wrestler in all of wrestling ever. Like, 1,000 televised matches.
He is a shoo-in for Hall of Fame whenever he retires.
Easily. And we all know how, well, I know exactly how I want that to happen, but it never will.
How do you want that to happen?
Kane's final match will be, well, in my mind, the best possible final match for retirement would be Kane versus Undertaker at WrestleMania.
Okay.
In a buried alive match.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And Kane throws Taker into the hole.
Right.
And signals for the dirt to be poured in.
Uh-huh.
And as it starts getting poured in, Taker's hand comes out, grabs Kane by the ankle, and pulls him into the hole as well, burying both of them. Neither of them being seen again. And then all, like, you, well, imagine theatrically, the arena goes dark. Single spotlight on the urn in the middle of the ring, and it bursts into flames.
Mate, you've been thinking about this for a long old time, haven't you?
Like, and then you never see either of them again in the ring.
That's how they should have done it. That's how they should have done
Wrestling
it.
Wrestling has lost its spectacle, and that would bring it back.
If we could have that as The Undertaker's final match, if he was to return for Mania next year, along with a tag team match of the Broken Hardys versus The New Day, it would be one of the best Manias of all time.
Yeah. Just that moment. Like, can you imagine the stunned silence of the entire crowd? And not in a, he just lost to Brock Lesnar way.
Yeah.
In a, that would just erupt in a thank you, both of them. Like,
thanks to Brothers of Destruction, man.
Yeah, thank you, brothers.
Yeah.
Like, and then that's it. They're gone forever. You never see any either of them in the ring again.
Until Glenn Jacobs runs as mayor again.
And now I'll be vice president by that.
Oh, a man can dream about that. Can you imagine The Rock as president?
President Dwayne Johnson and his vice president, Kane.
That's a bit close to Kang from when Kang and Kodos were running for president in The Simpsons. But yeah, I can't deny that Kane definitely deserves an honourable mention. Could you even have the Sharky Legacy Award for Wrestler Hall, the Wrestling Hall of Fame?
Absolutely.
Are we going to impromptually put Kane in there as our inaugural member?
Definitely.
There we go. Kane, you are in the Upside Down Shark Wrestling Hall of Fame. I hope you somehow hear about this high honour. Because, you know...
And if you do, please make that match happen.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got the sway backstage to make that happen. Don't make me come there. I'll come over to Connecticut.
You will make so many grown men cry.
At least these two in the room right now. But that being said, I still think calendar year 2017, Kenny Omega is my wrestler of the year.
I would agree.
Along with the Elite. But AJ Styles, it is 1A, 1B.
Super close.
Super close. Razor's edge. Knife edge. Something very thin. Paper.
AJ just needs a haircut.
Nah, he looks better.
Still looks like a soccer mom.
He does look, well, it's getting almost a bit to like short Jesus.
It's in that awkward stage that Daniel Bryan has to go through.
Yeah, yeah. Who, in theory, maybe wrestler of 2018. Who knows? Who knows? There is the match between Daniel Bryan Cody that has been suggested numerous times. Can you imagine? He may even come back for the Bullet Club pay-per-view. CM Punk, Kenny Omega, Daniel Bryan, all on the same pay-per-view.
Well, he'd be Bryan Danielson at that point.
American Dragon, mate. American Dragon. Mate. Oh, we've been rambling on for far too long, and it's getting late. So, there we go. That was the Upside Down Shark Wrestling Awards for 2017. The inaugural Sharkies of wrestling. I have been Tom the Thrasher Baker.
I am still... Paul.
Still Paul, still Austin. I did it. Well done, me. This has been Upside Down Shark Radio. Merry Christmas for 3 weeks' time, whenever this goes out. Cheers, guys.
Thanks, guys. High energy.